It's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking with elephant expert Catherine Doyle about the national controversy that's erupted at the L.A. Zoo over its lone elephant and plans for a $42 million elephant exhibit and other more local elephant zoo issues as well. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Jimmy Smith with a piece called Ape Woman here on Talking Animals. This is Jimmy Smith with a piece called Ape Woman, an animal tune of sorts. As we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals, my name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. For more information about the show and past guests, as well as archives and iTunes podcasts, I invite you to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Catherine Doyle, an elephant expert with In Defense of Animals, an international animal advocacy organization. We'll speak with her about the controversy, national controversy, really, that's erupted about the L.A. Zoo over its lone elephant, Billy, plans to build a $42 million elephant exhibit. We'll discuss this issue, a recent study about zoo elephants, as well as the Lowry Park Zoo and its elephants, when we speak with Catherine Doyle in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. It's a time now where we briefly try to hit at least some animal news item and or announcement. And in this case, the Humane Society of Tampa Bay is in need of pet food donations. The Humane Society of Tampa Bay is keenly aware of the hardship the economy has placed on families with pets. In an effort to help those struggling to keep their pets, the Humane Society of Tampa Bay started the Food Assistance Program. This program helps those that otherwise wouldn't be able to keep their pets simply because they can't afford to feed them. Since March of last year, this program has given out over 84,000 pounds of free pet food and has helped keep more than 5,000 pets in their homes. These are animals that would otherwise have been abandoned or dropped off at a shelter. Donations have dwindled while the number of recipients is skyrocketing. Both cat and dry dog food is needed. The Humane Society of Tampa Bay is located 3607 North Armenia Avenue, Tampa, 33607. Donations can be dropped off 7 days a week during business hours. More information, go to HumaneSocietyTampa.org. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Mitch Hedberg with a snippet of a piece called Headless Horseman on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I like when they say a movie's inspired by a true story, because that's weird. It means the movie's not a true story. It was just inspired by a true story. Like, hey, Mitch, did you hear the story about the lady who drove her children into the river and they all drowned? Yes, I did. And that inspired me to write a movie about a gorilla. If I was a headless horseman's horse, I would f*** with that dude. Yeah, we're going that way. We're not headed towards the hay. Imagine if a headless horseman had a headless horse. That would be chaos. We need a head. Now, is a hippopotamus, or a really cool apotamus? I'm sick of seeing squirrels on water skis. You better get off the water sports, dude. Winter is approaching.
All right. That is, was actually, sadly, the late, great Mitch Hedberg with a portion of a piece called Headless Horseman, taken from his album, Do You Believe in Gosh? I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but most are available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with Dr. Temple Grandin We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends. Our Facebook page, we're looking for fans. And our blog. There's also a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Catherine Doyle. As I mentioned a few moments ago, she's an animal expert with In Defense of Animals, an international animal advocacy organization. And in that capacity, has become a central figure in the national controversy that's erupted at the L.A. Zoo over its lone elephant Billy and plans to build a $42 million elephant exhibit. Also, In Defense of Animals annually issues a list of the 10 worst zoos for elephants. And this year, Tampa's Lowry Park Zoo made that list. We'll find out why. There's much to discuss here, so with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Catherine Doyle back to Talking Animals. Catherine, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Duncan.
Hey, how are you? I was thinking when I was preparing for this, you were a guest in 2003. You were like one of my earliest guests.
About the LA Zoo, in fact.
Right, exactly. Some stories keep recurring, I guess, for better or worse. But and sort of in the interest of establishing a bit of a context that I otherwise probably have with you, but maybe our listeners don't, for the discussion that's about to unfold, maybe you could give us a thumbnail sketch of In Defense of Animals and perhaps as it hooks into this LA Alliance for Elephants as well.
Okay, well, In Defense of Animals is an animal protection organization. It's international, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That was established in the 1980s. And we do, you know, work on a variety of animal issues around the world. You know, in India and Africa, there's a chimp sanctuary. It's a fantastic organization.
And
LA Alliance for Elephants is actually a local group here that is, you know, focused on the issues at Los Angeles Zoo, though we also do... try to educate people and support conservation efforts.
And in terms of your own background, how did you become an elephant expert / advocate?
Well, the beginning of getting involved with elephants was back in 2003 when the LA Zoo wanted to separate Ruby from her companion of 17 years, Gita. Mm. And the LA Zoo actually, well, they did end up sending Ruby to the Knoxville Zoo in Tennessee, and I was a plaintiff on a lawsuit to try to stop that move, which the zoo went ahead and did it in the middle of the night. They snuck her out. But eventually, we were doing really well in the lawsuit. Ruby was not, they weren't able to integrate Ruby at Knoxville, and the mayor of Los Angeles at the time, Mayor Hahn, ordered her back to Los Angeles. And really, I mean, well, we would have preferred at that point, since she was in Tennessee, that she'd gone to the elephant sanctuary.
Sure.
But unfortunately, the city wouldn't agree to that. So, but we knew that if we could, you know, keep Ruby, get her back here to Los Angeles, that we did stand a good chance of getting her to the PAWS sanctuary in California, and we did in 2007.
Right. Well, PAWS, or at least Pat Derby, may come up later in this conversation. But now the situation, the current situation at the L.A. Zoo with Billy the Elephant and the plans for this $42 million exhibit has really become a national, maybe even an international story. So can you sort of outline the key components of that story for those who might not be familiar with it and suggest why you think it's generated national attention?
Yeah. Well, just in a nutshell, the zoo... is constructing a $42 million elephant exhibit here in Los Angeles that still does not provide the space for elephants. The space, usable space for elephants, approximately 3.5 acres, most likely less than that, subdivided into 4 yards, two of which are less than half an acre each. Mm. And obviously this is not enough space for elephants. You will not meet their needs, and elephants are going to continue to suffer here. We've had 14 elephants die at Los Angeles Zoo since about 1975, and we feel that Billy should not join that list.
And why have those who operate or otherwise support the LA Zoo clung so vehemently then to this position to keep Billy there to proceed with the pachyderm forest?
Yeah, that's a really good question. To tell the truth, I I've actually asked that myself, why this myopic focus and spending $42 million. Some of the money actually comes from, it's taxpayer money. It comes from bonds, a county and a city bond. But really, why this myopic focus on elephants at that zoo when the truth is there are so many other areas of that zoo where the animals are in need? There are so many areas that, you know, our giraffes are kept in this little postage stamp size exhibit. We have a jaguar that's in this tiny little cage that he just paces constantly, just, you know, in the same pattern around and around and around. And in fact, there are two projects at the zoo that one of which has been scaled back. It's an insect and reptile center that's been scaled back because of trying to meet the budget for that exhibit. And but also the jaguar is going to be out of a new home because the zoo is also planning a Rainforest of the Americas exhibit that now looks like it's going to be shelved because they're almost $2 million short of their budget.
Well, you know, that sort of, I guess, makes me wonder because, I mean, given the $42 million price tag on this pachyderm forest thing, you'd think that if nothing else, you know, sort of fundamental economic factors being what they are and what's been going on just, well, again, in the last few days, if not the last few months, that alone would prompt zoo officials or bean counters there, whatever, to sort of loosen their grip on these plans.
Yeah, and really, and just use the money more wisely. I mean, this is the bond money, you know, it can be used at the zoo. And then, well, there was another part of the money that the Zoological Society there at the zoo stepped up and said they're going to pay, but even then, that's kind of questionable. That's a little bit much to get into, but, you know, there were just a lot of questionable things going on. And to tell the truth, in the long run, what happened was, you know, the city council had to vote on this. And city council, at the end, it really just became all about politics and not about the issue or about Billy's welfare there. And it was really sad to see. And you know, the zoo brought out, you know, some influential and, you know, moneyed supporters, and there were a lot of other things that went on, I think, behind the scenes, but yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it wasn't about the issue in the end. It was about politics.
Yeah, well, I want to get into some of those experts in a sec, but I just want to remind our listeners, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with elephant expert Catherine Doyle about zoo elephants. At the moment, zoo elephants in L.A., but it won't be long before we're talking about zoo elephants in Tampa and perhaps elsewhere. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Catherine a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So Catherine, maybe you could talk briefly about the experts and others who you know, so-called maybe experts, but have lined up on the zoo's side of the debate and I guess really for sort of equal time purposes, you know, those that are on the other side and you know, it's been a pretty interesting sort of high profile battle at times, at least following it from afar.
Yeah. Well, actually, on the zoo side, really, it's the proponents from the zoo side have been the zoo, their employees, and their volunteers. And they've never brought out any experts, you know, so to speak, that had expertise in elephants specifically.
Yeah.
We had experts from around the world who were opposed to this exhibit. From elephant researchers, people who worked in the field for over 30 years, like Dr. Joyce Poole and Dr. Keith Lindsay, and to, you know, former zoo professionals and zoo consultants and, you know, veterinarians and former elephant keepers. And yeah, I mean, we had considerable, as far as, you know, the experts in the science go, that was really all on our side. Including,
sure.
You know, last December, there was that study that came out in the highly prestigious journal Science that talked about how, you know, elephants in zoos are living, you know, aren't living as long as even elephants in the wild, and that how captivity is actually drastically shortening elephants' life expectancies in zoos.
Yeah, well, I was certainly going to ask you about that, so this might be the best moment to even go a bit deeper into that, because it's certainly, I mean, you've sort of briefly summarized the findings, but it really sounds like a lot of the things that come up a lot in these conversations about zoo elephants were really part of this study. And again, it's a, you know, it's Science Magazine, I think a pretty prestigious journal, but it sounds like, you know, a one risk factor, if I'm not mistaken, was being moved from one institution to another,
right.
Being removed from their mother, of course, being born into a zoo rather, you know, I mean, so it just sounds
actually,
like
elephants born in zoos fared worse than elephants who were born in the wild.
Right. That's, yeah, these are all, I think, kind of the key findings. And I think one of the things was just that the stress of that kind of living and I guess in some cases obesity, you know, sort of are the likely causes of the zoo elephants, you know, much shorter lifespan, I guess.
Right. So, yeah, definitely. And actually, what's interesting, what I think a lot of people miss there is that, or the at least you miss kind of the importance of it, is that it, to me, what was interesting in that study was it talked about zoo practices. I mean, you know, we know that the elephant enclosures, you know, are a problem as well. We know that elephants are developing arthritis and these chronic foot problems. That actually arthritis and foot disease are the leading, you know, causes of euthanasia for elephants in captivity. And so we know that, you know, the physical aspect, you know, has an effect on their health. But also really it's zoo practices. It's transferring the elephants between zoos. It's separating, you know, calves from their mothers at young ages. And, you know, and these are practices that are inherent in zoos.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, in elephants, well, you know, that elephants live in matriarchal herds, or, you know, they live in close-knit family
sure.
groups in which the females stay together for life and the males don't leave until they're teens.
Absolutely.
So, the basic what's going on in zoos for elephants is just, you know, totally
counter to
them,
right.
And natural and counter, you know, to their well-being.
Sure. Well, I want to take a call in one sec, Catherine, but just one moment back briefly to the LA Zoo thing, because again, you sort of mentioned that it was about politics, but also to what extent, like in terms of them sort of clinging to this and trying to move ahead with the Pachyderm Forest, I mean, how much of this is really sort of about money? I mean, to what extent do zoos, the LA Zoo and others, view elephants as an important drawing card, to the extent where they would just say, hey, despite all this evidence and despite what these experts are saying and despite this study in science, we still don't want to go ahead because that brings folks in?
Sure, and especially if you're doing what LA Zoo is talking about, you know, trying to establish a breeding program, because we know for a fact that baby elephants bring people through the doors in droves,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And, but again, it's always at the expense of the animal.
Sure.
So,
okay.
And we know already that, you know, elephants are suffering and dying prematurely in zoos. And we don't believe that's going to stop in you know, a renovated exhibit, you know, here in Los Angeles, where it's only 3.5 acres at most. Subdivided into four smaller yards.
Yikes. All right, let's take a call. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Catherine Doyle.
Hi, it's Glenn in Tampa.
Hi.
I was wondering, don't you basically have to beat an elephant into submission to keep him in captivity? I mean, these things don't seem like they would really go for a captive lifestyle, as it were.
Well, it depends how you're managing elephants. There's two different ways. There's the one style where it's, you know, similar to, well, it's the circus style of training, that where they use bull hooks, and they do have to initially break an elephant, and then they continue to control the elephant with a bull hook, which really, you know, it's used to poke and prod and threaten the elephants into compliance, and it can be used to beat them as well. And then the other type of management is, that's definitely more progressive and more humane, is called protected contact, and that's where the keeper and the elephant never share the same space. There's always a barrier between them, and it's based on cooperation and using positive reinforcement, and it's certainly it's more humane for the elephants and much safer for the keepers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your call. And I do want to get on to the list in one sec, but I mean, some of this discussion is sort of taking place against the backdrop of a growing number of zoos, Catherine, correct me if I'm wrong here, who have closed their elephant exhibits, chiefly, I think, in most cases at least, because they recognize there really isn't a way to humanely display elephants at a zoo for some of the reasons you just cited. Isn't that right?
Yeah, there have been 12 zoos that have closed their elephant exhibits for a variety of reasons, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it has to do with finances or the fact that, you know, they realize they can't provide, you know, the environment that elephants need.
Sure.
And there's another 6 zoos that are actually planning to phase out their elephant exhibits as well. So, another thing I think it's important to also talk about is, you know, I know you mentioned the reason about keeping elephants in zoos, you know, was to bring people through the door, but also, you know, we keep hearing from zoos that this is all about conservation. And it's interesting because the more I talk to people who are actually, you know, working out in the field in conservation, especially with Asian elephants, I've been told now that really captive breeding doesn't help them at all. It does not help conservation out in those countries. And that's because, their problem, they said there's a misinterpretation that their problem isn't too few elephants. It's that, you know, they don't have the space for the elephants they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you're having are these problems with human-elephant conflict.
Sure.
And also, you know, the other issue, of course, is habitat preservation. And that's really where they need the help. That, you know, if we're going to save elephants, we have to do it where elephants live. And that's through in Asia, you know, like they were saying, you know, working on conflict resolution and protecting habitat. And in Africa, though, it's a different issue there. And that's really protection from poaching and also, you know, habitat protection and conflict resolution as well.
Okay, this is Talking Animals. We're speaking with the elephant expert Catherine Doyle about zoo elephants from L.A. and then 1 second here to Tampa and points in between. If you have a question or comment for Catherine, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So let's make sure we don't run out of time before we talk a little bit about In Defense of Animals' annual list of the 10 worst zoos for elephants. First of all, folks can find that online if they'd like it. helpelephants.com/top10-2008. How long has the In Defense of Animals been issuing that list, Catherine?
Since our first one was 2005.
Okay. And what is exactly the criteria that's used to assemble that list each year?
Well, basically, what we've been doing is we try to pick the list to represent the variety of issues that are, you know, causing elephants to suffer in zoos and reflecting the problems there. And we've actually have had people, we ask, interested people to submit zoos.
Mm-hmm.
That they feel, you know, deserve to be on the list.
Okay.
Last year or year before last, we actually had people vote on the list. But generally, like I said, we do try to have a representation of the variety of issues that we're seeing in zoos.
Well, I guess in that case, then, that sort of brings us to Lowry Park Zoo. This is their first time on the list, I believe. And what did it do or fail to do in 2008 that qualified it for the latest list?
Well, actually, you know, of course, we know that Lowry Park Zoo has attracted quite a lot of attention in the very recent past.
Yeah.
With some of the goings-on and with the zoo director there.
Sure.
But the reason, we were keeping an eye on, Lowry Park and what was going on there. But, you know, of course, four of the elephants at the zoo were imported from Swaziland. And they were taken from, a large national park there in Africa, and now they're living on about 2.5 acres.
Yeah.
And this was another dirty deal, basically. I mean, there's been dirty dealings going on recently there. Well, this transfer was a dirty deal as well because, these elephants, there was a threat made that, they would be killed if they weren't sent to the United States. And that really wasn't true, that there was the possibility of sending those elephants to other reserves in Africa where they could have, lived freely. And so, but instead they were part of an import of 11 of Swaziland's elephants. And again, we just feel, taking these elephants, basically what you're doing, you're taking elephants out of the wild.
Sure.
Putting them into conditions that we know are causing elephants to suffer and die prematurely.
And I remember this when it happened several years ago, because the San Diego Wild Animal Park, I think, was part of the same thing. And it really, in some ways, amounted to just sort of trading elephants in for newer models. I mean, they had to get rid of, and I think at both facilities, some elephants to make room for these that they had plucked from Swaziland.
Exactly, right. Yeah. That's exactly what happened with the San Diego Zoo, right, which we know that Larry Kilmer was also involved there at, Lowry Park Zoo with some of those dealings with Salisbury. But, San Diego Zoo was, part of that import, and they did. They moved three elephants to Chicago. Three elephants who'd lived, since they were taken from the wild, they had lived in Southern California. At least, they had good weather here. And we're moved to Chicago, and they're all dead within 2 years.
Yikes. Okay, well, Catherine, we got all the phone lines lit here, and unfortunately we're nearing the end of our time, so let's try to at least take as many calls as we can. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Catherine Doyle.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm David. I'm in Tampa.
Hi, David.
And I'd like to point out that there's some other opinions about elephant care out there.
Okay. Could you succinctly give us yours?
Sure. First thing is the study reporting on elephant mortality in zoos compared to wild was bad statistics. Definitely ignores infant mortality in the wild and includes it in the zoos.
Oh, no, it's the opposite, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was the opposite. They did include infant mortality, and I think you're referring to a previous zoo study that was done that actually did not include infant mortality.
Yeah, this one was.
And the other thing that's been said quite a lot, too, that I've been hearing, it's absolutely not true, is that, if you're talking about statistics, that, that science study looked back over, I think, about 40 years worth of information, But what they did, so, you know, there's been this criticism that, oh, it was old information. But the truth is they looked at the last 10 years. They were looking for improvements. They were looking to see if there were changes. In fact, with African elephants, there were some improvements in the last 10 years. There were not with Asian elephants.
Okay. Yeah. And the other thing is the two things. One
okay,
is,
quickly. I'm sorry. Sure. Many calls. We're almost out of time. I'm sorry. So please quickly go ahead.
One, the hook is not necessarily as terrible of a tool as it sounds like. You know, 99% of the time, you just tap them on the head a little with the handle, and they say, oh, there's a hook, and it's part of the deal. Second,
it's a threat, but it represents something else. It does. It's a threat to those animals. And what's interesting too is I was reading that not only does the elephant who's, you know, being directed respond to it, but it actually affects the other elephants as well. When they see that bull hook used on an elephant, it actually has an effect. They respond as well.
Okay, I think we're going to move along, but I appreciate your input. We're so out of time, and I really want to get at least one other call here.
I think these are well-meaning people that are destroying the future of elephant country.
Okay, well, I will take that. Thank you very much. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Catherine Doyle. Unfortunately, we're very near the end of our time. Just a quick question or comment for Catherine, please.
Hi, my name is Ananta. I'm calling from Clearwater. I just wanted to ask Catherine, you know, in my country, in India, we have elephants in all the temples, and then every temple has an elephant in captivity, and has the organization she represents have tackled that issue, has done any research on that. I just wanted to know about that.
Actually, I'm not directly involved with that, but I do have colleagues in India who I'm in touch with, and no, there certainly are serious welfare issues there, and that do need to be dealt with. And of course, you know, too, that I mean, I pick up, you know, weekly, I'm picking up stories about what's going on there in India, you know, elephant incidents. And what we've seen, you know, many, many times, as I'm sure you're aware, are elephants that, you know, are in parades or in festivals that, like, suddenly just, you know, something triggers them and they run amok and people are injured and killed. That's certainly, it's a big problem. It's a big problem that both for humans and elephants there that needs to be dealt with.
Thank you very much for your call. I'm afraid we are out of time, but thanks for your call. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us again on Talking Animals. The time flew by as it often does, so hopefully we'll have a chance to speak with you a little further down the road, maybe depending on how this plays out with the L.A. Zoo. But just, again, it's Catherine Doyle we've been speaking with from In Defense of Animals, and the website is IDAUSA.org. And again, to find out more about the list we talked about, you can go to helpelephants.com/top10, spelled out the words top 10 2008. So, Catherine, thanks again for joining us on Talking Animals.
Well, thank you so much, Duncan.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace. We're looking for friends just like you, new Facebook page, our blog, and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a pair of tickets to see Arlo Guthrie this Saturday, March 7th at Tampa Theater. To the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this relevant animal tune, let's name that animal tune, Talking Animals. I've reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return next Wednesday, March 11th, when our guest will be Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. I hope you'll join me then next Wednesday, March 11th at 11:30 a.m. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This one by a musician who'll be in Arlo Guthrie's band this weekend for that Tampa Theater performance. See how it all ties in? This is Terry Oliveri Hall with a song called Labradoodles here on WMNF Tampa.
If you've got some kids and you want a perfect pet, I'm here to tell you what dog you gotta get. Why settle for just one when you could have the best of two? Not a Schnauzer or a St. Bernard. Here's the one for you. Labradoodle. Start out with a lab and then you add a poodle. Put them both together and you've got the perfect blend. When you get a labradoodle, you've got a faithful friend. Oh, they come in every color and they hardly ever shed. So what could be more perfect? Curled up at your bed. They're smarter than your cousin and better looking too. There just couldn't be a better dog for you. Labradoodle. Start out with a lab and then you add a poodle. Get yourself a doodle and the fun will never end. Cause a labradoodle makes a doodle of a friend. Labradoodle makes a doodle of a friend. Labradoodle.